Empowering God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to move us to understanding, to help us to believe the gospel, and to give us strength and wisdom to live by. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is Jesus speaking in the Gospel of John. I will be reading from chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Listen for God's word to you today. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, but do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I now read from Acts, the second chapter, the verses 1 through 21. And you may find this on Pew Bible page 119. Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a loud sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya beyond belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them all. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. The next passage that I'll read is from Romans, the 8th chapter, the verses 14 through 17, and you may find this on page 158. For all who are led by the Spirit are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord. If I could have the first slide, please. Let me just say at the get-go here that this kind of sermon today is somewhat different than I normally preach because I'm using slides to foster my ideas. And today I take as our theme, Living the Promise. And if I could have the next slide, the main idea, or let's just go here first. I don't know if in your travels, if you have ever come upon a delightful water wheel. In some of my travels, I have seen beautiful water wheels. Of this is an example. The water wheel, I think, is helpful for us in that it suggests to us how it is that God, the Holy Trinity, functions. It is as though God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work as the water wheel in the outpouring and the receiving. The outpouring, the receiving, on and on. The Father outpours to the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Son outpours to the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours out to the Father and the Son. And it's this outpouring and it's this receiving which this wonderful flow of the activity of God invites us into that flow this morning. Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit existed before time began. The Holy Spirit just doesn't come at the birthday of the church, but that Holy Spirit was the one who hovered over the darkness of creation as the Son also existed before time began, but appears historically in the person of Jesus. So the water wheel, I suggest to you, is very suggestive of how it would be that Jesus, shortly before he returns to heaven, would say, I have a promise for you. He said, I have good news and bad news, and the bad news is I'm leaving you, but the good news is I promise that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So let's have the next slide. And if there's any take home today, or if there's any big idea in this message, it's simply this. It's living the promise is to experience the Holy Spirit as our guide, comforter, and counselor. Next slide, please. The Holy Spirit is our guide. I don't know if you've ever gone anywhere in which you needed to follow a guide, but certainly this gal is leading a group of people. She's got her hiking boots on, her hiking poles. She's in her rain gear, and most importantly, she has this big smile. I can remember the time about 10 years ago or so when a friend and I hiked rim to rim of the Grand Canyon, and we followed a guide. And among the things he would say to us, eat before you're hungry, drink before you're thirsty, and rest before you're tired. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit is our guide. I could have the next slide. The Holy Spirit The next slide, please. Okay, the next slide. I remember the time a friend of mine and I went to a continuing education experience in Spokane, a college in Spokane, Washington. One of the speakers at that event was a person by the name of Dale Bruner, who was a fantastic lay Bible teacher. One of the things that he would do before he would teach from a passage of Scripture, he would have memorized it. And then he would expound it. But one of the things that I'll never forget him saying is that he was saying that the Holy Spirit is the shy person of the Trinity. And he's the one, as it were, as he almost goes into hiding, but he's always pointing. He's always pointing to the cross. He's always pointing to Jesus. Because that's the ministry, work of the Holy Spirit as the guide. It's interesting, I think, how it is that the Holy Spirit becomes our guide. Today in the service, we invite new members into our church, and we believe that the Holy Spirit works through the waters of baptism, leading people to the truth, leading people to their church connection. When I think about my own life, there have been 15 significant churches in my experience, which average out to about 5 years apiece. And the Holy Spirit has nudged you to come to Crossroads. Every Sunday morning, when you could sit with a Sunday paper instead, you come to church instead. You witness to your neighbors, and the Holy Spirit has nudged you to church. The Holy Spirit works, we might say, sacramentally and ecclesiastically in terms of bringing people to church, keeping them involved in a church, growing in a church. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Next slide, please. And the Holy Spirit knows your name. One of the things that's happening here, I understand, at Crossroads is that sort of as a summer emphasis, you have a theme of being known. Not only do you want God to know your name, but you want to learn the names of other people as well so that you see them. You say, oh, that's John, that's Jane. Oh, they're a relatively new family, and they have those three beautiful children. The Holy Spirit not only knows each of our names, but we want to learn one another's names. The Holy Spirit knows our names when we pray. One of the contemplative ways of praying is simply to say, as sort of like a breath prayer, God, I love you. God responds, Jerry, I love you. And to do this sort of as a breath prayer, just saying, God, I love you. Jerry, I love you. God, I love you. Jerry, I love you. And as we say this over and over, we experience the Holy Spirit as our guide. Next slide. The Holy Spirit is also our comforter. There was this seminary student writing an exam one day, and he was to write about how we benefit from the work of Jesus. And he had written, Jesus covers all our quilt, whereas he meant to say guilt. And the squiggle, instead of going to the left, the squiggle had gone to the right. And in the margin, the professor said to the student, you're probably onto something more than you realize, because Jesus also covers us with the Holy Comforter, the Holy Duvet, the holy quilt. I don't know about you, but I've been a person who has had experienced significant losses in my life, and I'm sure many of you have. You probably lost a job or a parent. Some of you have gone through the agony of losing a child. You know what grief is. And then, too, there are churches who have lost young pastors through death, as you all have. You remember the pain 2+ years ago when Pastor Hauser died so unexpectedly. And yet, the Holy Spirit has come down upon this church as a comforter. He has assured you that you are loved and cared for. God is always with us in our pain. God is the Holy Comforter. And individuals and churches alike who have experienced this deep grief are never the same because of it. There's a depth in your persona as a church or in your personality if you have experienced a loss. You know the hurt, you know the pain, and yet you also know the warmth of the Holy Spirit who has come to be your comforter. And the result is that if you have experienced the depth of pain in your life, then you will also be able to experience greater joy and greater caring. And that is why when the session this morning met with one of the families joining this church, they shared with us how it was that they have found this church such a loving and caring community. If I could have the next slide. And here's a picture of people who are experiencing rich koinonia. The sun is coming in from the background, suggesting the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. They're sharing a meal together. They're breaking bread together. Their faces are filled with smiles and love and care because they have experienced the Holy Spirit as the comforter. Next slide. The Holy Spirit is also our counselor. I don't know if any of you have ever secured the services of a counselor or a therapist. Perhaps your life was in a muddle. You couldn't make sense out of things. You didn't know if you were coming or going. And life was sort of like this bowl of spaghetti in which you couldn't just figure out where it started and where it ended. And you needed someone just to listen to you. You needed someone to help you sort it all out. You needed a counselor. You needed someone who was able to help you to let go and to let God. And sometimes you and I in our personal experiences get so tied up and we become so stuck that it's difficult for us to find a sense of freedom. And then it is that we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us to let go, so that we can get on with our life and its joys and its love. You see, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And if you've ever been stuck and you can't make another step forward, then make it your prayer to say, Holy Spirit, be my counselor and help me to get unstuck here. Help me to move on and help me to be able to do the powers of forgiveness. Because so often, what it is that gets us stuck, either our guilt or our fears or our anger or self-pity, it's the inability to move on because we get stuck. And if we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us to get unstuck, we will experience the next slide. We will experience what Peter experienced. I don't know if you remember, Peter was that apostle who had betrayed Jesus. Every time he heard the rooster, he knew how he had been a chicken. How it was that he had denied Jesus three times. And yet he also experienced, next slide, from a rooster, he became a lion. He became bold in his witness and was the great apostle who eventually moves to Rome, and the Western Church follows his leadership. This week was a significant week in our history as we celebrated the 75th anniversary of D-Day. D-Day is that day in which we remember how those brave men of valor left those U-boats and marched and assaulted the beaches of Normandy. And we celebrate their bravery, how it was that they stepped out of those boats and became as though they were each a lion, bold, courageous, as we are called to be, as we remember the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, the Holy Spirit, when he's at work in a person's life and or in a church, you can count on it that you are going to feel better. Not bitter, but better. If you feel bitter and not better, it's because somehow you haven't allowed yourself to be connected with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is always someone who enables us to experience such things as love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And that word gets out. When, as a church community, out in your community, you witness and you shine with the glow of the Holy Spirit and are known as a community of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, that's contagious. That's why it was that the early church grew as it did. They were a people characterized with love and commitment. So I would hope this summer especially that you would want to be known, that you would want to make room for one another, that you would want to take time for one another and allow the Spirit to shine on in such a way that you become not only the children but the heirs of God. If I could have the next slide, please join me in prayer. O Holy Spirit, we pray that we would be among those who live the promise, that we would experience you, the Holy Spirit, as our guide, comforter, and counselor. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.